Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information. Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Dan Campbell took this Lions job with a vision. That vision has ignited the Lions fan base in a way not seen perhaps ever.
This is a sleeping giant. This is a sports town. And we feel the love.
Remember who the you are!
NFC North champions,
everybody.
Division winners, back-to-back seasons.
Your team main laws of the pride is worldwide now. Riding to your town, win, then ride out. The crew here to break it down for y'all, to demonstrate how we game playing around with y'all. The humble host with punchlines to give you a black eye. You brought a GM and OC, even a stat guy. Other teams drink the Kool-Aid, roll over and quit. I drank Campbell's soup and woke up all grits.
Well, that wasn't grit on Sunday. Welcome into the All Grit Podcast. It's a somber Monday evening here in the greater Grand Rapids and Grand Blanc areas. We're getting this out to you at 6:12 in the evening. I'm your humble host. I'm with the stat guy this evening. Clay, how you doing?
Some sad, sad Monday.
But a sweet lid that you have on there.
Thank you.
Smooth, bro. I like that. And look, if my eyes do not deceive me, we have the GM with us, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Plax. Welcome to the studio here.
What's up, boys? Not a victory Monday, but
welcome back.
We'll try to spin a positive on this debacle. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. There are going to be some positives. You know, Clay's here. There's always going to be some positives. We got Mr. Slappy himself. He's ready to go.
Always here.
You know, he's one of those guys where it's like, well, if the field goal wasn't blocked, we would have won the game. We look good. No, I'm just kidding. I did get in some conversations, though, with people, and that was their take, and I wasn't happy with them.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I'm not even so that far.
Yeah. So we got a 27-23. 27-24, right?
Yeah.
Final. Lions lose at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Just looking at the whole game, I mean, we could start. There's so many places we could start. I was thinking we could start with the offensive line, because that to me is where the game was won and lost. Injuries to speak of on the offensive line. We know that Mahogany, Dan Campbell said, is out. He's going to be out for a while, he said, perhaps a long time. So they're thinking maybe sometime in December, if everything comes to fruition there, which brings up, you know, trade deadline. What do we do? But offensive play, Clay, what was your take of the offensive line on Sunday?
I thought Decker was awful. Like, just – he went down, I think, sometime in the second half, and it almost seemed like they were better when he was on the sideline or in the locker room. All respect to his leg, but right. It was just awful. Like, Goff had no time for plays to develop. Even if it was a crappy play call, there was no time for anything to be developed. It was trash.
Yeah. Plax, same sentiments, or did you think the offensive line did great?
I wouldn't say that. No, man, it was interesting. I mean, when was the last time we sat here and was like, man, like the offensive line is the, you know, was a big reason. Usually that's the one guarantee, you know, we've gotten used to the last several years is solid line play. So yeah, I mean, Decker, he had a rough day. You know, I'm sure he's battling through injuries constantly. I don't know if that was the big factor in that, but and also I just think Minnesota came out fired up and they were the aggressor from the start. So you got to give them a lot of credit. It just looked like we just didn't really have that edge and wasn't really, you know, kind of prepared to go out there after a bye week.
Yeah, that offensive line was week one. If you're saying when did the offensive line last play like that, it was week one, right? They just Green Bay threw stuff at them and they were confused, although we were starting, you know, rookie and a second year kind of early in the season. But so to answer your question, week one was the last time. And then before that, it was literally the whole game plan was the Washington divisional game. Like they just something about I don't understand how you can just be so cold, how you can just be so bad. And that's what irritates me about Lions fans that are just like, man, we almost won. I'm like, dude, that's some SOL.
Yeah, exactly.
SOL, we almost won.
Even the JMO touchdown at the end was so SOL. You're behind all game and you score with two minutes left, right before the 2 minute warning. I know SOL is dead. But it was an SOL game. Like
it was
just the whole setup, everything, the comeback at the end.
Yep.
Oh, like we get three and out. We can do this. Like,
and what about JJ? I know Plax, the GM here, has a soft spot in his heart for JJ. But JJ, with the game on the line, just drops a dime to one of his wide receivers. Yeah, Naylor. Thank you.
I only knew that because he went to MSU, and I felt like everybody from Michigan hurt the Lions yesterday.
I'm over that. Like, you know, I wish JJ went to anywhere else in the league that's not in our division so I could root for him. But I mean, it's not a silver lining for me. I'm not glad that he balled out. I mean, but you know, he's a competitor. He came to play and he made plays. It just seemed like it's just weird. Like, it feels like we were just getting our butts kicked, like from start to finish. Mm-hmm. But most of the game, we're tied or we're down one score. But it felt like we were so overwhelmed and so behind. It kind of just goes to show you how bad we actually played, honestly. Because
three
straight, we weren't down, you know, three touchdowns.
Three straight three and outs. I don't even know. I know they put the stat up. I wasn't in the mood for stats yesterday, so I don't know when it was last time that's happened. But
the stat guy wasn't in the mood for stats.
It was just like three straight three and outs, and you're on your own six every single time. It's just not very.
Yeah. And let's do you one better. What happened on the fourth drive after the three and outs?
Was that the fumble?
You got it.
Yeah, so that's what I told Plax. I said once Montgomery fumbled, it was just like it's not meant to be. Like this thing is not happening.
And that's the sentiment that I had all game was this game is just not meant to be because like everyone was saying, it's like you have the opportunity to go down and score and they're just the play calling, the offensive line, the penalties, and yet Minnesota wasn't going away with the game, like Plax said. It was a 10-point game. That's about as far as it got, and then we brought it right back down to seven, or to whatever this.
Well, yeah,
whatever
it was. Yeah,
three or
I think it was like three the whole game, and then they moved it to 10, and then we got that garbage touchdown at the end that
back to three. Yeah,
made people think that we were
right.
Yeah, it was those quick three and outs too. That's just like what hurts. It's like you finally get
12-second drives, man, know?
And then it's like 35 seconds later. Or by the time you go grab a beer or a pop out of the fridge, they're punting. Yeah. It's like they kind of like just abandon the run. It just felt like, I don't know, it just felt like a different team out there, scheme-wise, play-calling-wise. I just felt uncomfortable like watching them the whole time.
Arnold,
if you look at it, if you What's that?
Yeah, Arnold's pick, and then you can't even do anything with it. Like, right. Plex at 35 seconds left, you're punting.
That seems to be the story of the year. Like, we get tons of turnovers and just don't do anything with it, our offense. So let's get into it. So special teams. Special teams really gave Minnesota the gusto to just put the pedal down in the beginning. Because, right, we go down, we score, we're 7-0. We're feeling good first quarter. Then they come down and they get a 60.
Yeah, they start with 35 right away.
Right, right. So they're right there, one-handed grab, touchdown. Then we get the ball. Let's start the 3-and-out game. And then Minnesota, once again, dude, they had a 99-yard touchdown taken off of the board for a phantom, Detroit Lions penalty. I was sitting there going, wow, I guess the referees kind of gave us one back from the Kansas City game, because that was – if I was a Minnesota fan, bro, I was livid.
The guy who returned is like, off. Where?
That was off. So, yeah, they should have been up there too. But, yeah, special teams killed us. So, Dave Phipp is going to be talking with the boys, getting some basics down for this upcoming Sunday for sure. They're either going to be belting it, you know, in that soft landing zone where it bounces, or kicking it to the 35, or just doing something, because that was – well, we got to give credit to that dude. He's like a good returner.
Oh, yeah.
Was in college too, I believe they said. So anyway, so it starts with special teams, right? O-line injuries, they're dropping like flies. They're going in, out, in, out. But my biggest pet peeve, bro, is the one, the only, Johnny Mo.
And it's been bad for a couple of weeks, but we've survived the waves. Like, you still win, so you're like, oh, okay, like, we haven't peaked yet. But those play calling, man, was just
speaking of that, bro.
It was so confusing. It was like, I just can't put my finger on it. It was like, why is this? Why are you doing this? I don't know if they thought it was like, we're just gonna win off based off talent.
Yeah,
but like, you think back about, you know, like the Tampa game, or, you know, Chicago, just impeccable. You know, play calling, balance, execution, and just none of that was there. You know, got Amon Ra dropping passes that he doesn't usually drop. Just things were just happening, man. And it was just like kind of a snowball effect, and they didn't really make any adjustments at the half, which was frustrating. And, you know, it was just like, that's just a game. You can't drop a game against the Vikings at home like that.
No.
You know, that and it's really
the play calling
big.
Started out so good. Like, Laporta, they got Laporta going, like, three catches. Like, it was that first drive was all Laporta.
Then stopped.
Then boom.
Yep. So, we actually have a speak pipe from one of our listeners, Bobby Gillison. And check out Bobby's frustration with the one, the only, Johnny Mo.
All right, I just want to start this off by saying I am not a hater on the Lions. I'm not a regular hater. I don't do this very often, but I'm going to hate on the Lions right now. I just want to know what we're doing with John Morton right now. We're 3rd and 15, 3rd and long, and you're running these screen passes like you don't even care, like you're just giving up. There's no motivation at all. Like, he's somehow making the best offense in the entire league look like dog water, like look like garbage. I don't know what we're doing. Like, why are we throwing these screen passes when it does not work? It hasn't been working the whole entire season. It's not working that game. Like, trust Goff. Why are we not throwing the ball down the field more? We have such good talent down the field that we can throw it to, and we're just not using it all. I mean, J-Mo, up until the very end, yes, you finally trusted him and he caught the ball. And like, but that was the very, like, when it didn't even matter. I don't know about John Morton, man. I don't need these super creative, like, Ben Johnson calls like we used to do. But I mean, we got to do something else out, man. We got to figure this out.
Thanks for calling in, Bobby. And my sentiments, exactly. You guys, I know that you guys have not heard this yet. So your take on Bobby's thoughts.
Oh, 100%, Bobby. It was a John. Caleb, you remember? I'm sure Dave does too. But like, that was a Joey Harrington West Coast offense on Sunday. like screen pass after screen pass after screen pass. Then you watch, and I'm sorry to mention, but you watch and the Chiefs.
Get blown up.
Yeah, and you watch the Chiefs. It's 2nd and 16, and they throw a deep down to Rice and get a first down right away. Like, yep, got a penalty, but we get ourselves out of it, and it was a clean play. No, nothing about refs. But we could do the same thing, but like Bobby said, screen pass after screen pass. Like, it was
I
awful.
Mean, the only thing I can think of, you know, because what's the D coordinator from Minnesota? What's his name again?
Oh, they were saying it all.
Yeah, they said it all day long.
All day.
He's an animal.
It'll come to mind.
Yeah, it's just slipping.
Ryan Flores.
You know, he's always been a great D coordinator. He has exotic blitz packages. I don't know if Morton was, you know, a lot of times, you know, you can throw that screen towards the blitz, make a play, and, you know, you got less defenders. I get that. Or it's like, they're getting so much pressure on Goff that he just thinks, oh, we don't have time to get the ball downfield. So it's just straight check down, see if Gibbs can make a play. But it was just like, it proved to fail like over and over and over again. And yeah. I don't know. It was curious to watch because it just, I don't know. Nothing felt normal about that game. Just guys weren't in position. They didn't put people in a position to succeed, and also, you know, we just didn't execute as well. It's just kind of a stinker on like every level, seems like.
Yeah, and not only curious or what word did you say to watch? It was what to watch? Furious. No.
Curious.
I think it was frustrating to watch that game because it was like, we all know Flores' defense, and he's going to surprise blitz from this and that and that. But it's like, you know that. You know, I mean, you can watch his tape every week, so you know he's going to be right. And Goff, and I know we got in a little argument about this, Clay, but I was listening to sports radio all day, and everyone agreed with me. They said Goff normally plays Brian Flores great. Because of his IQ, he shreds him. Now, granted, Ben Johnson was the head coach, offensive coordinator during all those times. But like this,
and Ragnow and Decker was good.
Yeah, that's true. And so, just to play devil's advocate for Bobby's question, yes, you know he is driving me nuts, and he's driving Bobby's nuts. He's driving Bobby. But I will say, it comes down to the offensive line. You cannot throw deep, Bobby, when you have three dudes unprotected on a blitz, and they were blitzing the A gap. These guys were not coming off on Hutch's side. They were not coming off on Decker's side. They were coming A gap, which is right up the middle.
And you knew they were coming. They moved the linemen. I mean, the linebackers moved up every single time. Like you saw it.
And then they're putting Gibbs in there to block a linebacker running in with a 40-yard get off, you know, just blowing Gibbs up instead of putting Monty in there, who's a better blocker for the whole game. That should have been move number one. Monty stays in there for protection because they're blitzing every time. They blitz 50% or more every play. So you got to have Monty in there for protection.
And they run those like kind of like stunts or twists with the linebackers where the linebacker starts on the left side, ends up blitzing on the right, which causes a lot of confusion. And Gibbs missed a lot. He missed at least two or three of those, or he picked up the wrong guy. Then you got two guys. You got, you know, him and someone else double teaming an edge, and then the middle's wide open. But
and if he does get the ball off, then it's batted down at the line.
Yeah.
So as bad as Johnny Mo was sitting up in his penthouse, looking down on his minions, which Clay hates, he's been doing great up until two bad games. And what happened? What's the common denominator? Offensive line issues.
Yep.
Because they were just showing the stats at the beginning of the game, if you guys saw it, and they showed Ben Johnson, and then they showed John Morton. And I know it's a smaller sample size, but Johnny Morton's stats with Jared Goff is better than Ben Johnson's in those seven games. They literally showed it in the beginning. If you recorded, go back and watch.
Yeah.
It really is in the box. I mean, it's just a couple percentage points higher, but still. So it's the offensive line that makes this whole thing work.
And I think like having that's a great point because losing Ragnow, man, was a big.
Yeah, we need him back, bro. Wasn't there a bold take that he was coming back this season?
Yeah, somebody had it.
No we chance. Need that. We need that. All right, so listen, we also have another speak pipe, and I don't know what none of us know what this is. This is the offensive coordinator, Adrian. We don't drop last names. Let's listen to our let's listen to our coordinator here.
What up, all grit? This is Adrian. Here's my take. Offensive line played terrible on Sunday. It was hard to watch, and now they're banged up. So our trade deadline is in within 24 hours, ends tomorrow. Could we have Brad Holmes send a sixth or even a fifth round pick to the Tennessee Titans for yours and truly, Kevin Zeitler, who last year won 15 games with you? He's a former Pro Bowler. He knows the scheme. He knows the coaches. He knows Detroit. This guy is plug and play. He can play tomorrow. Can we send a pick to get him the rest of the season? I don't care if it's borrowed time. We are in desperate need of depth. Awosika is serviceable and he can play fine, but he's not going to be our season-long solution. If that is too rich or Tennessee is not willing to play, could we call Arizona and ask for Evan Brown for a seventh round pick? This is a journeyman who was with us 3 years ago on the offensive line. He also knows the scheme. He knows the coaches. He knows Detroit and he's versatile. He can play guard and center. So my call as your OC here on the All Grit podcast is make a move to get some depth in the trenches, whether it's defensive line or please, please, please offensive line. We need the help. Send it.
Man, he brought some heat with that. Let's get first reactions. Plax, I see you grinning. What say you?
No, shout out Adrian. Definitely dropped some serious knowledge, some things we didn't even think about. But I mean, Zeitler, that would be awesome. I don't really know how that works. But he like,
yeah. So I was trying to look up his contract, and I
1 year, $9 million.
Oh, it is okay.
I was looking it up too. So it's not like he's like a few. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we're going to pay, if it's a 1 year nine, you know, those game checks are divided up into those weeks. So he's already 8 weeks in. So that's half a season. So I would assume that we're already off the hook for four and a half mil.
It says here you got a $5 million signing bonus. So that only leaves four left.
Well, there you go. 2 million.
Two.
And like, you know, he's on a 1 year deal. He's kind of older. He's not like a long-term core piece for Tennessee. Their season's, you know, trash.
They're trash.
But, you know.
Yeah, that's a good call, man. I was hearing that on the radio all day today, and I'm just waiting for it to happen. Honestly, I'm just keep on checking the Twitter sphere and seeing when we get an offensive lineman, interior, exterior, you know, get a backup for Taylor Decker while you're at it.
But I do feel a lot better about being pressed to find maybe a serviceable offensive lineman rather than, you know, the last couple of years we're just trying to find another semi-elite defensive end. I feel like teams are hold them way closer to the chest or a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
We're looking to get a guy for this year. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like Holmes and them, they're going to turn over a lot of rocks and, you know, They gotta find somebody. I mean, depth is an issue. So I would be really surprised if they didn't make at least a move, like you said, on a fifth or a sixth round pick somewhere to get us through the rest of the season.
So Titans trade room. There are trade rumors that gives Lions a no-brainer target to help injured offensive line. So 42 minutes ago, Yahoo Sports, there are trade rumors going on between Titans and potentially the Lions. Like Adrian said, he was here last year. He helped us get to, you know, the playoffs. Great, great pass blocker. I think one of the best guard pass blockers in the league still. What a huge – and his salary, from what this says, just this year is $2.5 million. So if – I don't know if that's accurate, but if that is true – bro, if we picked him up, we'd probably then we'd probably give him $1 million, or let's just say two. $1 to $2 million for the rest of the year.
Jame will give him the $2 million. Hey man, just take here's my bread.
Yeah, bro, come on. Let's do this. Another one. There's one. All right. What say you, Clay? We need one more. Well, wait a minute. Adrian just said Evan Brown. You guys remember Evan Brown?
Barely.
Okay. I remember Evan Brown.
I don't remember him playing.
Yeah. Big old boy. Let him come on home, too. And then, dude, if we do that.
Another one.
There's two on the line. And we're just building depth.
Yeah. Because Mahogany's going to come back. It's a broken bone.
Oh, yeah. So give us the lates on that, stat guy. What? I didn't really see what happened here. So is it
So he went through the injury report at the end of his presser today, and they asked coach if he thought Mahogany will still be back this season. He said, yeah, he said with this kind of injury, he should be back. And then he took a pause and he's like, all right, it's a broken bone. He's like, broken bone will heal faster than that's the best case scenario in this. You know, if you're talking ligaments, that's a whole different kind of like Hutch. Because, like, we thought, like, oh, man, Hutch got a clean break. At least it's not a ligament. That's not going to be a career thing. Clean break. He said he's going to come back stronger. They'll do what they have to do to make the bone strong. Oh. So
then it must – I mean, we know Hutch's leg literally snapped in half. We saw it there. But if that dude broke his bone, I don't see him coming back this year. Plax, you know more. You're the GM. You've reached out to all these teams.
Was it his foot, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he'll come back. I think he'll be okay. I think he could come back.
Which bone was broke? Wasn't it his foot or no?
Let's see. I don't know. I was waiting for the stat guy to pull that one up.
He didn't say what bone it was. He said it's a broken bone, though.
If it's a fracture, you know, depending on what it is or the severity, you know, 6-8 weeks. Seems to be like a pretty standard recovery time. Definitely way better than, you know, an Achilles or an ACL or any ligament, you know.
All right,
but moral of the story, he's not going to be around anytime soon.
Right.
And he's going to be the guy you're going to hope to have, you know, for a playoff push, but you're not going to get by without anybody filling in the gap, you know, for the next, you know, 6 weeks.
Check this other option we have here. I just looked this up. We got one potential trade partner is the Cleveland Browns. We know they're going nowhere as well. The Cleveland Browns have two elite offensive guards. Now, I would use elite with air quotes because we've seen – I mean, we've seen the Cleveland Brown offense. Two elite offensive guards, maybe by PFF, Wyatt Teller and Joel Bitonio, heading into free agency – next March. So Bitonio's 34 years old, man. He's up there. And on the back end of what will probably be a Hall of Fame career, while Teller's 30 and a longer-term play, which makes Teller the best option, all other factors being equal. So Wyatt Teller, keep that name in mind. Offensive line, interior pass protection from the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, that's really what you're going to want to look for is a guy on the end of the deal. You're not really looking for a guy on a 4-year deal, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, they want, obviously, they have the confidence in Mahogany and a lot of the other guys on the line. So that's kind of what I feel like they're going to be looking for is a guy on a 1-year, the guys on, you know, I mean, that's a good option here in Cleveland. You're not going anywhere. You're on the last year of your deal.
Let's do it.
You drop some people, man. Starter,
and this dude is a 4-time Pro Bowler. He ranks 32nd among 78 eligible offensive guards this season based on PFF. So just in the better half of half, right? 32 and 32 would be 64 out of 78. So, yeah, I'm, you know, let Brad cook. Come on, Clay, tell me.
Cook, baby. Come in the kitchen.
BPA. All right.
Rattledge, he said Rattledge will be okay. Decker and Sewell will be okay. Probably won't practice much as like on Wednesday, but.
Right. Just wrap them in styrofoam all week and give them.
Well, the one like Sewell, man, like when you get your eye poked, man, that is a whole different. That looks painful, man.
Dude, you could line up a outside blitzer, and Sewell will never see him. He's got his right eye shut.
Yep.
But, hey, real briefly, let's go into our bold takes from last week. So last week we had Adrian, and he was really cocky with this one, guys. He said, not one, not two, but three takeaways. And no, it didn't hit. And then Clay comes up. He's like, no, I hold my beer. He says, I got Hutch with a sack, a strip, fumble, a touchdown.
No.
Man, he just went off.
He didn't get a sack with his pinky though.
he should have had a sack. Anyways. No, he did get one on him, didn't he?
Yeah, he like
for 0.5?
Yeah.
Did they record? Did they give him a record?
I think they gave him they gave him one that because he was coming out half to the left and like he barely touched Hulk.
Oh, yeah, touched him. No, that's a sack. Yeah. They counted that as a sack for sure.
Yeah, he got a full one.
Yep. And then Caleb said, not one, not two, not three, not four, but five turnovers for the Detroit Lions. How many did we end up getting? We got one pick.
Yeah.
One pick by Terrion. I don't remember the play because I must have like gotten up for a quick second, but all I know is Lions had another interception and I look and it was a penalty, so the interception was taken away. Do you guys remember what play I'm talking about? It was by one of the Legion of Whom. He was running with the ball and they're like, what? Whistle.
Oh, yeah.
Penalty. It was Mollett, I believe. So that would have been two
by himself when he caught it, but they got him on a hold or something.
Something, yeah. Trash. All right, so we talked trade deadline. We recapped the game. Let's look ahead to Washington, bro. Oh, Washington.
So, well, before we move on to Washington, do you think there's a chance that Lions just completely overlooked Minnesota and just looked ahead to the revenge game versus Washington?
Yes.
That was kind of my theory this morning.
That's how I slept last night anyway.
Yeah, right. That's how I justified it too. I was like, you know what?
It's called the trap game for a reason, right, Plax?
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really buy that, but it does seem like just like how you kind of see like a lot of college teams early in the year, they're playing like an FCS team. They're using like five of their plays on offense, and it kind of looks like, wow, they didn't even beat them by 40. Like, what the heck? You know, we're just going in here to beat you just based off we have a better team and better talent. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's hard to think of Dan ever not having the team ready for a game or overlooking anything. But, you know, it could have been the players, you know. Minnesota hasn't been playing super great. Got the home field advantage, but they just did not bring the juice. And I just think it was Minnesota was ready to play and Lions weren't. But I do expect a big bounce back next week.
And I remember talking to you guys on a chat when the Vikings were playing the Chargers last week, and they looked horrible. I remember texting you guys. Remember, I was like, "Oh, it was." The ginger at quarterback, but regardless, it was like I was texting you guys. I'm like, dude, we are going to destroy them next Sunday. This is not even going to be, and that's why I came in so cocky with the we're about to put up 40 burger on them and 20, and you know I got to apologize to the All Grit Pod family for that. That was I got to take one. That was a big L by me. Wow, but like you said, it's a bounce back week. And I think that there is a little something to looking ahead and, you know, a trap game. And I'll give you an example. Lions looked ahead. They got Washington coming up. Everyone's preparing for Washington because that's who beat us in the divisional game last year. That's the biggest retribution game of the season on our schedule. And they saw Minnesota suck. And they're like, all right, well, we got this. And how do I know this? Because in Green Bay, you mean to tell me right now, team, helmet, Green Bay is a worse team than Carolina Panthers? I would take Green Bay 80 times out of 20.
For sure.
Or excuse me, 80 times out of 100.
Right, right.
8 out of 10, whatever it is. Like, and they just looked ahead. They got Philly coming up, bro, on a night game.
100%.
It's possible. It's there's something.
I know we didn't even mention that. How much worse does that even make it, bro? Like, should have just took care of Minnesota,
you know, right,
with ease. And you got, you're on the top of the division. Charlotte, Carolina. You got the Panthers going into Lambeau, holding them to 13 points and winning that game. Like, dude, it was set up for just perfection yesterday. But I mean, at least they lost and we lost. But it's like,
that's a good point. Talk about setup for perfection. Then the Cincinnati Bengals score a touchdown with 50 seconds on the clock. And I said they gave that fool too long because all they need is a field goal.
All they need is a field goal. Yep. They gave him way too much time.
Good old Michigan boy comes through and just
it was a weird day in the league yesterday for sure.
Yep. Yeah, it was. Indiana Jones loses to Pittsburgh, right?
Yep.
Who just lost to the Packers, and the Packers just lost to – you can't do that. You'll go around in a circle killing yourself trying to see, well, my team's better than yours. We didn't lose to that team, and you did. Psh, man, it's a week-by-week league, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this real quick to pay our bills around here.
Today's episode is sponsored by Dan Diamond Equipment, a used fork truck dealing company located in Hastings, Michigan. They sell and rent fork trucks and die handlers. With over 30 years of experience, don't hesitate to call Dan Diamond Equipment for all of your fork truck needs. Reach out to Dan at 269-948-3377. Again, the number for Dan Diamond Equipment, 269-948-3377.
All right, we're going into Washington this week. What's the time? Is that a 4 o'clock game,
Clay? 4:25.
4:25. You going to that one, Clay?
I'm not going to Washington.
Believe it when I see it.
Right. Yeah. True. Johnny Almond's going to be flying you out there, bro. Don't even worry about it.
Maybe at Detroit. If it was warmer, I would have loved going to that Cincinnati game.
Yeah, right. that was my game I wanted to go to. All right, so. Yeah, as we just heard, if you haven't heard and you're living underneath the rock, Jaden Daniels hyperextends, dislocates, snaps.
Ligament is shown to be where they are now. They shouldn't be where they should be at.
Yeah, so if you're at home right now and you're not on YouTube, I want you to take your left arm and extend it all the way out like you're giving somebody a big hug. All right, and then just like keep snapping it right in place where you know where your elbow should be.
Yeah, make it go the other way.
It's inside out. It's inside out.
I'll make it. That was a nasty one there. That jump did not look good. It was his non-throwing arm, I believe. So that's good for him.
Oh god, dude! If that was his throwing arm, that might have been career ending. They likened it to like a Tommy John surgery, and you know how bad that is for a pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you almost have to retrain yourself if that was your throwing arm, right? To like even throw. Yeah. So, all right. So I'm not going to do like I always do, right? I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to do what I did last week. Last week I was so cocky. I'm like, we're going to walk in. Minnesota's going to walk in and we're going to pound them 40-20. So I'm going to show respect to Washington, even though they just lost three starters. They lost their quarterback. They lost who was it? You guys know? His name's on he used to play for the New Orleans Saints, I believe. Anyway, one of their cornerbacks out for the year. And I believe one of their offensive or defensive linemen out for the year. They lost three players for the year last night. So that being said, Lions, as injured as we are coming into this game, we're playing Marcus Mariota. Okay. So that being said, Plax, what's your prediction for this Sunday? 4:25. We're all going to be walking on eggshells, bro.
I know it's like, let me not have knee jerk reaction. I mean, the SOL in me, which, you know, it's dead. But
it peaked.
The SOL would have Mariota throwing for about 320. But I don't know, man. I guess I'll tie it in my bold take. I'm gonna say like Lions are not gonna give up at one sack. And
wait.
That was gonna be mine too. I think they're gonna I think the O line's gonna rebound, maybe. That's O-line's gonna be gonna mine come too.
In nasty.
No sacks.
And I'm thinking, I mean, I've watched very little of Washington this year. They still have a lot of talent, but you know, with Daniels going out, that's a whole different story.
Oh, it was their little white wide receiver that they just got, McCaffrey.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it McCaffrey's little brother?
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone for the year too.
He broke his collarbone.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was on the opening play, bro. I kind of saw it when it happened. They kind of like gang tackled him and just landed right. Oh yeah, where's the penalty for that?
Yeah, we didn't even talk about penalties.
We have to after this. We have to go back and talk about the officiating. But anyway,
that's another 40 minutes.
No,
yeah, I don't know. I think I kind of feel the same way I felt like going into Minnesota. I just feel like we're a better team, and I would say we're more polished. Which after yesterday, that's not a word you can use right now. But I don't know. I think we thrive in adversity. You're going on the road. It's a prime time game. You know, Washington's reeling a little bit. I think they're going to be up to play. I think they'll score some points. But you know, I'm thinking like a 31-17, 31-24 type game.
Let's land on one of them so I can write it down here.
Let's do a 31-23. I don't know if that
31-23 with no sacks. No sacks. All right, play. What's your prediction / bold take?
I'm doing.
Or if you want to do your. Yeah, let's do score prediction first.
All right. Revenge, man. This is a revenge game. They're going to be ready. If they were caught looking ahead, they got to make this one worth it. 40-23. Lions.
Dang. So you're saying old Johnny Moe is back on good terms with everybody.
Yep.
Back on that bull.
Johnny Moe.
Inevitable.
Are we doing bold take now? Or
let's do it. Yeah, you do it, bro.
It's a 400-yard game by Jared Goff. Is that bold enough? He hasn't had one this year yet.
Heck yeah. All
right, 400-yard game by Jared Goff because he's going to have time because Plaque said he's not going to get sacked. So sling yeah, that's it, baby. True.
But that That's makes me true. Think the running game isn't working, and that might be a problem. I don't know. But we can roll with it. If you go for 400 yards, you should win. So
right. Handily.
All right. Well, after last week, I'm going to sheepishly go into this at, I'm going to say 28 Lions. But I think the defense is going to stop Washington a lot because I think Washington is way injured more than what we are. Wide receivers, they only have the San Francisco, ex-San Francisco wide receiver. Can't think of his name right now. Little fast guy. But that's pretty much, I'm going to give them 14. So 14-28.
Samuel, is that Samuel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 14-28 Lions, dub. So we all got Lions on the dub, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Bold take. Bold take. All right, I'm gonna channel the Adrian, the OC right here. Here we go. We're not gonna get one.
Another one.
We're not gonna get two.
Another one.
Right.
I'm gonna say three turnovers.
Mm.
No, three takeaways. Because as we all know, a takeaway is also a fourth down.
Yep.
turnover. So I want one of those, and then we'll get a pick and a fumble. Well, you know, Hutch is going to strip sack like he always does, right? Like his regular.
Don't make Caleb go into definition. You'll lose, I promise.
Go back to the last episode if you want to see definitions. So, anyway, that's all I got. Oh, before we get out of here, one quick. It's 44 minutes, so we all got a minute to talk about this. Officiating. Now, we don't get on here and talk too much officiating besides if it's a Kansas City Chiefs game. But what is Jack Campbell supposed to do when he is running as fast as he humanly possibly can, sees a quarterback in his sight because an offensive lineman is not doing his job? We get penalized because he sacks him. He puts his right arm down as fast as he can to relieve any extra hit on the quarterback. He takes his head and aims right of his body so he doesn't spear him, picks him up, sets him down, and puts his right hand down to drive. A drive is grabbing, lifting up, and spearing. That's what the league is trying to get rid of. And for them to call a 15-yard penalty and for it not to be reviewed is absolute.
Agreed.
Yes.
Okay. Well, on that note. On that note.
And also, Hutch broke his leg swinging his leg. I don't think he would do that, too.
Say it again.
Hutch is swinging the leg. They said he swung his leg and tripped the quarterback.
I can see where that's coming from on the penalty. But Campbell, bro, that was just a shoulder square tackle. Nothing out of the ordinary. It's about as vanilla of a tackle as you can see. And there was no spearing. There was no, like you said, you know, they called him for putting his body weight on him. That's when your freaking feet are up behind your shoulders and you're coming down like full weight vertical. Like it wasn't like that. It wasn't close and no review. It was just, that was another nail in the coffin where it's like, yeah, this game. Cause wasn't that on like a third down too?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go.
And Hutchinson caught it and they tackled, or excuse me, Hawkinson caught it and they tackled him well short. Yeah, it was.
That was bad.
Yep. It was bad. So
time to bury it.
If you're listening out there, just know that Clay is still slap happy for them Lions. Boy, he will say,
I'm back.
For life.
I'm back.
He will say Hutch did not kick that dude when his leg went out of his way to hit his kneecap. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, Hutch, why are you even playing around? Do you want to break your leg again?
What's this man doing?
Keep your legs to yourself, bro.
Keep your legs to yourself. Can't say it better than that. Well, for the All Grit podcast, we got the GM, the stat guy, and the humble host here. We're filling in for the OC. He couldn't make it out tonight, but I'm running the board, trying to do the best I can. I got the guys helping me out. Appreciate you guys being here tonight, and we will look forward to Washington, almost said Redskins, the Washington Commanders this Sunday at 4 p.m. and we need a Lions dub. So all of you listening, thanks for your speak pipes. Bobby, Adrian, if you're listening, you want to get a speak pipe in, go to Instagram, All Grit Podcast. Top, you'll see a Linktree link. Tap that, and there is how you get onto the speech pipe. So, for all of us here at the All Grit Podcast, we're out.
Appreciate y'all.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.